All right, good morning again. Boy, Jesse went kitten. It is tilted for sure. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for those that can join us online as well. Brother Graham is out of town this week, so you get to listen to me for a little bit. And so I hope the lesson today is a benefit for you guys and an encouragement as just try to get some thoughts together about I have lots of ideas for talks and sermons, so I try to rein them in a little bit and give you some thoughts that I've been thinking about. So I try not to do too many talks or lessons about running and racing. Dale's laughing at me over there, and so are others. So go figure, I do that a lot. This is not a sermon about running or racing, but to illustrate where I'm headed with this, I'm going to start with that kind of illustration because that's what I know and that's I draw a lot of things from that. So what you see up here on the board are things that I see in races a lot. I see over here on this side, you know, some of the races I've run are kind of in the woods and they have a path kind of set out here for you. You've got some arrows on the ground telling you how far you've gone, and that's a good thing. Sometimes I run races where there's two different race links going on at the same time. There may be a 5K and a half marathon going on at the same time. So obviously the 5K race is a lot shorter than the half marathon. So at some point one race is going to go one way and the other race distance is going to go the other way. So it is very helpful for you to know which direction you need to go because you don't want to do a whole lot more work or running than you signed up for, that's for sure. So being able to see those paths or these little green arrows down here, sometimes those are stuck actually on the road that you're running. So it kind of tells you you need to turn this way or that way. So those are kind of handy. So you understand what I'm saying. With races, there's markings along the path that kind of let the racers know which way they need to go. Need to know the path that you need to follow. Keep you from making the wrong turns, right? Because there's a lot of wrong turns. I have had races, several of them, in fact, where I have made wrong turns, and it's aggravating because I'm having to either run more than I should or whatever the case may be. I've gone the wrong way because the course just wasn't marked very well. So a little aggravating. So you see why it's very important to have those kind of things. All right, so there's my illustration. So where am I going with this? All right, so in life, we have a lot of directions that we can choose to follow. And what kind of dictates that a lot of times, you know, the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, the circumstances we find ourselves in, sometimes kind of steer us this way or that way throughout our life. And also, a lot of times, it can be the friends that we have, or our family, job, media, that we listen to. A lot of things like that can dictate, well, a decision or a direction we're going to go in our life could send us this way, could send us that way. But I think we all understand that when we're trying to walk the path of life, we have a lot of choices we have to make because there's a lot of directions that we can go. So if you looked out there on the sign outside, I called this lesson Walking the Path. And I think each and every one of us understand, as far as our Christian life goes, that we're trying to walk a path. We're trying to walk with Jesus, walk the path of a Christian. But a lot of times there's detours and wrong ways that we can go in our life. And we need to be able to identify those and make sure we're not going down those paths. Just as a first verse to share with you guys before we really get going here, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." So how we choose to live our Christian life, the paths that we choose to take, really make a difference, obviously, in our life. We can choose to take a lot of guidance from the world, and unfortunately a lot of times that in turn leads to taking a lot of guidance from Satan himself, or we can take guidance from God. So I talk about walking the path. Who's our guide walking us down that path? To try to walk us down the straight and narrow path, or to kind of show us all these detours that we could take in our life. So what I want to share with you guys today, I just got 3 points I want to share with you about paths that we need to walk in our life. And there's God's way, and then there's the wrong way. There is no really middle ground here. It's either God's way or the wrong way. If you're not walking in God's path, you're walking on the wrong path. And when I think about it, I could have had a whole lot more points, and then my sermon would be way too long, and I try not to do that. So I'm going to share with you 3 things in our life that I think we need to really focus on to make sure we're on the right path. We're making sure we're on God's way, the right way, and not the worldly way or Satan's way, which is definitely the wrong way. And the first one I want to share with you guys is the path of our speech. So what do I mean? I'm talking about how we speak. How we speak to others. How we speak about others. Because there's definitely a lot of wrong ways we can approach that, isn't there? You caught yourself in that? You know, sometimes you say things in haste. Sometimes in anger, aggravation, frustration, whatever it might be. You know you've said the wrong thing and it stirred up something. You got to be careful. Walking down the wrong paths when it comes to your speech. You need to focus on God's way as far as your words that you speak versus the wrong way. With each one of these points, I just have a few verses I want to share with you just to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." You hear that word gracious a lot. You know what that means? Just in general, what gracious means? You know, pleasantly kind. You're not just kind, but pleasantly kind. Or friendly, or gentle, compassionate, or courteous. When you think about words like that, when you speak to somebody who speaks that way, to you or about you or to others about others, you understand the imagery here on how those words are just sweet, you know, like a honeycomb. It's just a good way to talk to people or talk about people graciously, pleasantly kind. Because what's the other way you can choose to talk? Well, let's take the antonyms of some of those words, disrespectful or impolite or hateful or rude. You know people like that? You ever have to be around people like that to talk that way? I do. A lot of people I work with are that way, that's for sure. That's the way they talk. I often say there's 2 types of people, especially with their talk, those that build up and those that tear down. And unfortunately, a lot of times the people we're around, the way they talk, they're trying to tear down. However they're doing that. You know, just little insults, little put-downs, whatever it might be. It's this tear-down thing, and it just wears you down. It's definitely, in my world, disrespectful, and it's hard for me to tolerate disrespectful talk and actions, but you understand that's not the type of talk you want to have. That's not the kind of speech that is godly speech and how you talk to and about other people. So you understand what I'm saying here? Because when you're around other people that have not gracious words, it's difficult to be around. And it wears on you. It really wears you down. It does me at times at work. And I'm sure, you know, whatever y'all's background is, you've been around people like that as well. It's just hard to talk to them. You don't want to talk to them. But as Christians, we want people to talk to us, right? We want people to approach us, to be able to have a conversation. I want to talk to Jesse because he's a positive person. Versus this other person over here that, man, every time I talk to that guy, it's negative, negative, negative. Where he's trying to put down somebody else, trying to focus on everybody else's problems and whatever it is. You could just see this wheel turning. But we need to have gracious words because it is like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I mean, it's not only good to have this kind of speech, it is good for your health, your spiritual health. I mean, not just physically, where it says health to the body. I think it just helps lighten the weight that you have in your life, sometimes where you have to deal with. When you can add gracious words to your life, I think it really helps steer your focus away from the negativity that a lot of times we're all around, when you can be positive in your words. And obviously that is good for our soul as well. Again, trying to walk a godly way with our speech, trying to build up and not tear down. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious. There's that word again. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I mean, we're talking about the types of words a little bit earlier, gracious words that we have. But with this one, this verse, I think about the approach that we take when we talk to other people. The tone and the manner that we speak to one another. Again, it's, you know, I think you understand what I'm saying here. You know, you may be saying one thing, but how you're saying it is something completely different. And maybe you've talked to people that do that as well. But we need to know how to talk to each person. Your approach toward each person is going to be a little bit different. You know, how you may talk to person A, maybe it's a little bit different than how you approach talking to person B when it comes to talking to them about godly things, about being a Christian, about the Bible. There's no set course that you can talk to somebody and it's going to work, you know, one size fits all. You need to understand, yes, let your speech be gracious. Understand what it means to know and to talk to each person so that you can have a better effect on that person when you're talking to them. So understanding your audience. You know, I try to gear the classes I teach here and the lessons I give to this audience. You know, if I was giving this lesson to a totally different audience, maybe I'd approach it a little bit different. But knowing your audience, knowing the person that you're talking to, makes a big difference. So we understand that it's not just the types of words you use as you're trying to speak as a Christian, but it's also the approach, the tone and the manner that we have. And why is this important? Why is it important to walk in this kind of God's path here with our speech? Well, we got to watch out here. Matthew 12:34-37. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's pretty serious. You're going to have to make an account for the words that you choose to use. Now, this particular version, where it says careless words, you know, looking at that word, it's empty words. You ever have somebody talk to you in empty words? You know, they're telling you things, but they don't really mean it. You hear them talking good, but you know it's not sincere. These careless words, these empty and idle words, where you really don't have care or concern, or even a good word here is indifferent. Those are the words you got to watch out for. When you're trying to talk to somebody, you're trying to be a good Christian and talk to people in a Christian way. But when you talk to them, you're just indifferent about them. Or you don't really care. That's the careless words. Because sometimes things slip out. We say things maybe we don't mean. And we pray for forgiveness for those things. But the attitude of our speech being indifferent or empty or just not having concern, that is the wrong path when it comes to our speech. It's definitely not God's path. God's path is that we do care. You know, so many times in the scriptures, Jesus himself rebuked the Pharisees for, to me, this very thing. You know, they pretended to care. You know, they had all this great speech that they were throwing out there. But what were they really trying to do? Especially when they were talking to Jesus, asking him questions. They didn't care. They weren't trying to sincerely ask questions. They were trying to trick Jesus or trick the disciples or trying to twist the meaning of things to the point where you could definitely tell they weren't sincere in what they're asking. They're just trying to trick and to manipulate. And to the point where Jesus on multiple times called them blasphemous in their speech. So you see the importance of walking the right way, you know, following the path of a Christian speech versus going down the wrong path of just not caring about what you're saying, not caring about the person that you're talking to, having these empty and careless words. That's definitely the wrong path. We got to make sure we don't follow those paths, because I tell you what, it's pretty easy to go down those paths. Satan's trying to lead us down those paths. A lot of people in this world walk that path because they really just care about themselves. And their speech reflects that. Let your speech reflect what should be in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty powerful to me. So let what's in your heart be from a Christian heart. And what's coming out of your mouth come from that as well. So, to me it's very important to mind what you say. Mind how you talk to others. Let your speech be gracious and walk down that path and not the world's path. Next one I want to share with you is the path of our thoughts. Oh, this was tricky. You know, sometimes we can really watch what we say, and some people are really good at it and some people aren't so good at it. Sometimes you really got to be mindful of that. But man, walking the path with our thoughts, that's tough. Does your mind ever wander on things? Your mind get wrapped up on stuff, and it's hard to not just focus on the negativity that you're having to deal with or whatever's going on, or you think somebody wronged you, or you think something's going on, you think it's all against you, and man, that's tough. And it's tough to overcome that, and it's tough to get off that path of this negative thoughts all the time and get back on the path of thinking like a Christian and having Christian thoughts. That's tough. But we need to walk that path. It's very important. How are you going to set your mind? How are you going to set your thoughts? Set the decisions that you're going to make. Set the direction that you want your thoughts to go. You know, there's an interesting quote that I've heard a long time ago, and it's actually from Socrates. And he said, the only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. Now, I laugh when I hear that, and I find that it's pretty extreme when you think about, you know, the only wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. Well, I could see back then, you know, Socrates thinking that is the true wisdom. But when I share with you a couple of verses like this, Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. When you think about trusting in your own mind, that's what you're going to rely on. That's what you're going to place confidence in. You're totally self-sure of yourself. That's the person that trusts in his own mind. What kind of person is that? That person's a fool. When you think you are self-sufficient and that, you know what? I can trust what's up here. I can trust in my mind. I can control my thoughts. I don't need any help doing that. That's wisdom to me. It's my wisdom. No. You need to understand, let's take that Socrates quote a little bit. True wisdom is knowing that, yeah, you need help. You need to rely on somebody greater than you to have true wisdom. And of course, who is this? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, Colossians 3:2. You need to set your mind on God and godly things. That's what you need to trust in. That's what you need to rely on. That's what you need to help set a path for the thoughts that you have each and every day. You need to get up each and every day and think, how am I going to be a great Christian today? What am I going to do? What are the decisions I'm going to make here today to be a godly person and be a good example to the people I'm around? And going back to our other point, how am I going to make the decisions to speak as a Christian today? And not relying on myself and how smart I am. Boy, I've studied a lot and I'm really smart. You know what? No, no, no. Understand that we need to grow and learn more and more each and every day. We're students all of our life. There's no stopping learning. We can continue to learn and grow. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how young or how old you are. You can continue to learn and to grow and to set your mind on things above. Set your focus on things above. That's the wisdom that you need to help discern what is true and what is right. What are we going to focus our minds and our thoughts on? Romans 8, 5 through 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Think about my two little arrows. God's way and the wrong way. What's this verse telling you? What's the wrong way? Setting your mind on things of this world, worldly things. Again, what I said earlier about listening to maybe other people or the media or all these things that are clogging everything that we're bringing into our minds. Setting your minds on these of the flesh, that's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to a spiritual death. We don't want that. We need to set our minds on the Spirit. Set your minds on thing above. Because what's that going to lead to? God's way. That's going to lead to life and to peace. Do you like having peace of mind? I do. Do you always have peace of mind? No. That's hard to come by, isn't it? Because of all the things that this world keeps throwing at you. And a lot of times what's behind that, that's Satan throwing a lot of things at you. And that definitely gets in the way of having peace of mind. Peace of mind is something that is a commodity that there's no amount of money in this world that I wouldn't give to have peace of mind. Because there's always things that we all are troubled with, that we have to deal with. The cares and concerns that we have for others makes it hard to have a peace of mind. But when we can focus on things above, focus on the Spirit, focus on God and godly things, that's going to go a long way in helping us to have peace of mind, because it shifts our focus away from all the negative things that this world has to throw at us. And keeps our focus on God. When we can do that, when we're on the path to God in our thoughts, maybe it won't be so hard to rein in our thoughts at times and keep our mind set on God and godly things. I know it sounds great, and maybe it sounds easy at times, and I know it's not. But when we're trying to walk the Christian path, trying to walk in God's way, it's the things we need to be trying to do. Are we going to fail at it at times? Yeah, absolutely. I do. But we're not perfect. We're going to fall off that path at times. But we know the path we need to be on, and we need to get back on that path. Walking the path. That's my lesson today. keep walking the path, not only with our words, but with our thoughts as well. All right, I said I got three. I got one more for you. The path of our actions. All right, we've talked about what we say. We talked about what we think. All right, let's put it together. Let's talk about what we do. Because actions speak very loudly, right? And we can think and say all we want, but if actions don't follow up with it, that's a problem. And we need to make sure we are acting in God's way and not the way of the world. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We have God's word. It instructs us. It guides us. You understand how important that is? We have the word of God. We have the best how-to book ever written. So many personal help books exist in this world. We have the best one here. God has given us all that we need to help us live a Christian life and help us to act as a Christian and make those right decisions. We have all the instructions we need, but we have to choose. We have a choice. Again, thinking about the path, God's way, we choose to act on those instructions. Or the wrong way, we choose not to act on those instructions. That's too hard. I can't do that. It's just too difficult. I'm not going to do that. You pick and choose. The scripture is not a buffet where you can just pick and choose what you want and leave the rest there. No, it is the sum total of God's word, and we need to follow it. You ever hear the phrase, in one ear and out the other? Hopefully it's not going on today. Hopefully you remember some of this. But I think a lot of times kids in school, maybe this plays a part. I know when I have to train people, I have noticed these things. I'm sure John has as well when he trains people. It goes in one ear and out the other. You ask him 5 minutes later what we talked about, and you get this stare of blankness in their eyes. Not a clue. It just went one ear and out the other. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Right or wrong, this is how I've always interpreted this verse. The people that are hearers only, it just goes in one ear and out the other. You heard, but you didn't listen. I think there's a big difference between those two words, right? Hearing and listening. You know, when you listen, to me, you absorb it. It doesn't just fly through there, through that gray matter. You absorb it. And then when you can absorb God's word, you can apply it. So many lessons we have, we try to apply what we're trying to learn from God's word. When you can apply that then to your life, then what can you do? You can act on it. You can have that action. You learn a lesson. You listen. You absorb it. You apply it. You can act or integrate it into your life. Maybe I should have made a pretty cool chart for all that stuff. But to me, all those things line up pretty well. To help you, as far as your actions, walking that godly path in your actions. Again, we have all the instruction we need. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Listen, read it, absorb it, apply it, and it'll help you walk it. That makes sense? It does to me. I hope it does to you. And again, that can be tough because so many people, so many times, look at Scripture and again, you know, they play buffet on it. Just pick and choose what you want. And other things that, you know, these are easy. I'm gonna choose to do these, but these are hard. I'm not going to do those. And those instructions just kind of fly on past us and we don't walk that path. Now, those are detours. Those are detours off the path. We need to be careful about that. Listen and absorb and apply so you can act. My next slide is not moving. Can you hit the space bar, Wesley? See if it'll move. No? Why don't you close it and reopen it? So we'll just keep on trucking. You'll have to listen to me read a verse here. So the next verse I have is Matthew 5:16, which says, in the same way, there you go, just keep on trucking. Matthew 5:16. There you go. I'll just let you advance the slides from here. All right, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, when we think about our actions and walking the godly path with our actions, we're trying to live a Christian life. And we're trying, so many times in our prayers and songs that we sing, we're trying to be a light, be an example to the people we're around. Trying to be a good person. You don't want to hide that. You know, just the little song that we would sing to kids, you know, don't let your light, you know, hidden under the bushel, under the basket, whatever it might be. Let your light shine. Be a good example as you're walking the path so that others can see God in the way that you live, in the way that you act. You're teaching through your life. You're teaching through your example. And it's really important that we do that and let that light shine, so that others will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When people can see the light that is shining from you, they see that your actions are guided by something greater than this world. And that is definitely not the case for most people. Most people's actions are guided by the things that are in this world, and the things that they hear in this world, and the things that flood your mind from this world. And that is definitely not what we need to have our actions guided by. That is the wrong path. But God's path is following Him, following His Word, having our actions guided by His Word. What to the next one, Wesley? Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Jesus giving thanks to God, God the Father, through Him. Again, our actions need to be guided by God and His Word. And not only that, we need to be thankful and humble, understanding who we are, understanding how we need God in our life to help guide the choices that we make when we think about what we're going to do with our life, how we're going to walk. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and be thankful for God, for who He is, and the fact that He has given us the path to follow. We just need to absorb that, and we need to learn how to walk that path. And that's what we need to make sure as a Christian we're doing these things. All right, it's this time of year. I've had this idea for this sermon, but every time I preach, it's like in the spring, and it's not corn maze time. So it's that time of year. We have one of the corn mazes here, right? It looks pretty cool. We have ones that are around here, and those are fun to get to do. You ever try one of those mazes? I have not, but I bet it could be fun. But you walk into one of those mazes, if it's pretty elaborate, you could get turned around pretty quick and not know where you're going, and it can be pretty intense. What you don't have the benefit of when you go into one of these mazes like this is you don't have the benefit. He really wants to go into a corn maze. What you don't have the benefit of is seeing it from this angle, right? If you were in the maze and you had the picture of an aerial picture of the maze, oh yeah, this is easy. I make this turn, I make this turn, I make this turn, boom, I'm out of here in record time. Well, that takes, you know, that's not generally what you have unless you're cheating to have the picture of that maze. But think about this spiritually. You know, think about this maze as the walk we're trying to live in our life, the walk we're trying to follow. It has a lot of twists and turns, right? It's got a lot of wrong directions, wrong turns that we can make in our life. But what does God see? God sees this. God sees the big picture. God knows the right turns that we need to make in our life. God sees the big picture. We just need to make sure that we're following His path. And again, we have the instructions to follow that path in His Word. We just need to follow it. I got two more verses for you. The lesson will be yours. To me, these two verses kind of sum up what I've been trying to say as far as following the path. You know, there's a quote from a movie that says there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And again, this goes back to the verse we read earlier about being hearers and not doers. We can know the path. We know God's path. We have it in the Scriptures. But there's a difference between knowing that and walking it. And that's why my sermon today was called Walking the Path. Because I think everybody here knows what you need to be doing. But sometimes it's a little bit harder to actually do it. Know the path versus walking it. So my encouragement to you here today with this lesson is to watch out for those detours, watch out for those wrong turns that the world and Satan keeps trying to throw at you, and to make sure you're walking the path. We know how we should walk, the direction we need to go, the path we need to follow. But God is there to guide us. God is there to walk beside us. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Walking the path. You know, we can make all the plans we want. And again, we read and understand what we need to do. Let the Lord make sure the Lord is the one that's establishing your path. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. Psalm 37:5. So again, to me, these two sum up what I've just been trying to say. Especially with these three things, we talk about our speech and our thoughts and our actions. Make sure you're committing your way to walking with the Lord. We need to commit to walking the path with Him, trusting in Him, trusting that His way is the right way. So that's my lesson today. I hope it made sense to you. I hope it's an encouragement to you. And if you've not been following God's path, the Christian path, the right path, now's the time to make your life right. Make an adjustment. Make a course correction in your life right now. However you need to do that. If you like the prayers of the congregation for strength and encouragement, we can do that with you. Stand right where you're at and stand, sit, whatever it is, and pray to God for forgiveness to help you get back on the right path. Do that now. If you've not been baptized into Christ, now's the time to get on the path and start walking with Him. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, Light the Fire. Let God light the fire to help you walk that path with your speech, your thoughts, and your actions so that you can live the best Christian life that you can and walk with Him each and every day. Whatever your needs are, let us know. Let's stand and sing.